Before anything else happens, Dr. Grunther, could you please help us out with Scrinky and Archiapa?
Yes, Smriti is mindfulness, and Pratyahara, Smriti is the Buddhist term for mindfulness, but it also means recollection, and Pratyahara is the term which is used in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali for the same thing, which means something. Hara, Ri means you gather it unto yourself, as it were. It's the same thing, just two terms for the same thing. Now, I'm extremely pleased, Mrs. This is what you should have been given last time. The other were just notes later, you know. See, I haven't seen this for about 30 years. It was just the Buddhist society spewing this forth all the time. And I don't know any longer what's going on. But this is the text, and I'm very pleased with it. You see, I was not very pleased with the other, which was mere notes, but I couldn't do better. I think it's very well done indeed. And being Leo rising, I'm always pleased with myself, and on this occasion I have no reason to be pleased with myself. It's well done. Now, you want to say something on it, or do you want to discuss something else? I mean, it doesn't matter to me. And you see, now there is here a triangle, you see, which I asked him to find. But the girl who typed this out didn't put the triangle into it, you see. In 106, there's a lovely triangle, but she didn't bother, you see. And special effort. I don't know, you see, I couldn't tell you it is exactly. But this is how I recognize. That's why I asked him to find the triangle, but the girl didn't put, or woman didn't put the triangle in.
Dr. Kunze, we just got these this morning, so. So we haven't had a chance to study it.
It's the same study.
Yeah.
I just got mine 2 seconds ago.
Well, I mean, perhaps we can find... I mean, what do you want to do? You want somebody to read it out? The excellent prose. Not me, because it's bad on my eyes. Or do you just want to read it quickly? What do you want to do? I mean... Well, I mean, this shows why two wars were necessary to prevent the Germans from conquering the world, because they would never allow this kind of chaos to happen. They would have done it yesterday, not today. But Americans are somewhat English, and so we are used to this chaos. It's worse in Spain and in the Soviet Union. It would be next week, you know, there would be some news that the machine has broken down, but we will bring it. I was in Moscow, I remember this. You know, first the Politburo has to look through it to see what heresies are in it, to see whether the spirits of Karl Marx are offended. Who can read then? Gemini, can you read? Have you recovered your throat?
Yes,
well, you read out then. What? Two.
Additional thought of symbiotic work between the transcendental spiritual world on the one hand and the sensory world on the other. There's an intermediary world, which is the world of magic on the cult and the most vastly of the psyche, which interpenetrates the sensory world.
Yes, you see, this is only notes. In English, there would be no end. I mean, if I were printing it, I would leave the end out. These are just my private notes. What's the difference between cosmic and psychic, then? Well, but I mean, why does Professor Gonzo not write internal and external, but cosmic and psychic? I mean, we must always assume people... I mean, you see my argument. I mean, if it were just external and internal... There must be more to it. And is the cosmic in you, is the cosmic only external or internal? Because you have Venus, and you will be beaten because you are sitting so near me, you see. Her Venus is in, where was it? In Cancer, that's right. Very in time. Venus in Cancer. Now, is this Venus cosmic or psychic? I'm just bouncing on you. You said internal. Now, is this Venus internal or external? If it were only external, why would it affect her attitude or life? Well, so that's the first thing. Why do we have these terms, cosmic and psychic? I mean, why don't I have, for psychic, mental, and for cosmic, natural, or heavenly, or something like that? I mean, why do we have psychic instead of mental? I mean, I'm perfectly capable of typing out mental, but I don't.
Consciousness
versus an unconscious world out there. So this is definitely not so. But psychic is the furniture of your mind which is not recognized by official psychology. Mental is that which is recognized by official psychology, which is both conscious and unconscious. Psychic is all sorts of moonshine, like telepathy and ghosts and things like that. So psychic is the sum total of your mind, not the one which is recognized only, not only the one which is recognized by academic psychology, which makes it very uninteresting. I mean, psychic includes, you see, mental means you distinguish, say, types as, I mean, the American method is somatotonic, viscerotonic, and cerebrotonic. That is mental. Psychic is Pisces and Leos and all this kind of stuff.
Is cosmic again in the same stand in the same relationship to astronomy or something like that?
No, cosmic now is everything about the external world, but not restricted to what modern science admits,
yeah,
i.e., astrology plus astronomy. Astronomy would be natural. But astronomy, astrology, and anything else which comes into your head is cosmic. That is the meaning of that. But the internal and external is not very accurate, because that is one of the difficulties of these magical things, that there is no clear division between the external and the internal. I mean, for instance, if you know, ask Venus, or I think better of a different example. What are you? Your son, you are a damnable Virgo, isn't it? Now, you see, this Virgo son, which is operating in you, is that now up there, or is it in you? You see, it's both. I mean, according to astrology. Because otherwise it couldn't make him into a damnable Virgo. It must be in you. Likewise, a clever human like this. We were not fast. So therefore, this was not quite the correct answer, you see. That in magic, the difference between external and internal is blurred.
Is cosmic then not related to specifically external?
No, no. Cosmic means that, you see, natural means that it is dead. Cosmic means that it is alive.
Natural.
Natural, if you say. You can take the moon. Let's just take the blasted moon. You know, moon up there. In the Americas, it would be moon. Now, from a natural point of view, the moon is a mass of matter, isn't it? They're still nettering on what it is and spending a lot of money. I'm finding out whether it's volcanic or whether this yellow muck which they brought there is something or other. Now, from the point of view of the cosmos, it is a living thing which influences lots of things here on the Earth. For instance, when the moon is full, people go off their heads and things like this. Or the moon... your moon is not full, so we must fasten. So where was your moon then? The moon's gone for you, you see. So with him, one must be careful, that he will crush you if you are not careful. Now, you see, that is a moon which the astronomers would just laugh at. See, who has ever heard of a thing like this, isn't it? The moon which we spend money on is a thing which consists of a lot of dust. That's a natural, a cosmic moon is a moon which makes him apt to be vicious if he is thwarted.
So the cosmic in that sense is very definitely not an external.
Well, it is both external and internal. The whole category of, I mean, the whole concept of external and internal, you would not apply to it.
Dr. Kanda, how could you distinguish this in terms of, say, a Sambhogakaya Buddha and a Svasambhogakaya Buddha, or a Dharmakaya Buddha and a Svabhavikakaya Buddha?
Virgos are always precise. On this occasion, the Virgo is modeled. Say it again.
Yeah. We speak of a Dharmakaya Buddha.
Yeah, that's right.
And a Svabhavikakaya Buddha.
Yes, that's right.
And if I'm not mistaken, that corresponds to a cosmic, a Svabhavikakaya, and...
No, you're totally mistaken. Now, do we have something to write here? I mean, since you brought it up, and I just yesterday spent $4.50 on buying something which Tartan Tulku is letting loose on mankind, full of Sambhogakayas and things like this.
Hello?
Tartan Tulku is the... So I will answer it. We can't. All right. Then you must just take it on trust. But it's so much easier, you see, since it'll be he who brings in the Sanskrit, if I could write it on. But I can't write it on. Okay. No, he got it totally muddled up. Totally. I mean, so totally. Absolutely totally. But it is very relevant to the question. I mean, this is perfectly true. That in the Buddha now, you have four bodies. And the first body is the body as it is in itself. I will give it to you in English. The body as it is in itself, that is the Svabhavika Kaya. Svabhava meaning own being. Svahon Bhava meaning Svabhavika. Now that is the Buddha's body as it is in itself. Now this is now reflected in three other Buddha, in three other bodies. If it is regarded with wisdom, it becomes the Dharmakaya, the Dharma body. If it is regarded with faith, it becomes the enjoyment body or the Sambhogikakaya. And if it is regarded by the ordinary nitwit, it is the so-called transformation body, or Nirmalakaya. That is what you all got modeled up. It didn't blend. You see, these are the four bodies.
Okay, yeah.
No, if you say it is not, so you're just wrong. There are things I really know. You see. I mean, it's not a matter of spiritual insight. It's just knowing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it would be much easier, of course, if I could write it down. But I cannot. So that are the four bodies. Now the first body you can't do any say anything at all about. Because if it is as it is by itself, you cannot say anything about it when you are there. Oh, not too much. I know what this blast thing looks like when I look at it. But what it looks like when I don't look at it, I couldn't tell you. What does it look like if nobody looks at it? You can think about that. You are blue in your face. You have no idea at all. It's the thing in itself. So therefore, that's all. Now then, you can look now at the Buddha either with the eye of wisdom, then you get the spiritual Buddha, the transcendental Buddha, which we are transcendental, the top Buddha. Or you can look at them as an ordinary person, the ordinary nit. Now the ordinary nit just sees an ordinary person walking along. That is the transformation body. That is the sensory world. Now, the body which corresponds to the intermediary world is the Sambhogakaya, which is translated as the cosmic body, for instance. You can translate it as a cosmic body. Do you see that? So, therefore, the triple world which I have is the basis of Buddhology also. Now, you seem to be still at odds.
Well, I knew the relationship of the Svabhavikakaya Buddha to those three other bodies. I came across the term Svasambhogakaya Buddha in Lama Govinda's book.
Yes, now you see, Lama Govinda is a man whose knowledge is about as genuine as his title. You know?
I
so I would not pay too much attention to it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
In other words, I mean, if this great man should come to San Francisco, as he occasionally does, you ask him, one, for the Tibetan corresponding to this wonderful term, and two, where precisely, dear sir, did you find it? Not in your own books, but in the Tibetan books. Do you follow that? I mean, that's a great difficulty. I mean, these people have an enormous capacity for confusing everybody. But as I have explained it, it's perfectly clear, isn't it? You have the Buddha's body by itself, then you have it on the transcendental level, on the natural level, and on the intermediate level. It's exactly as it is. And this other thing is just him there, spinning along. He has no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't know Tibetan. I mean, he's just... He's just along. Perhaps you also ask him in one sense, he's along. No, that's a great difficulty. You see that it just always sounds as if we were haughty towards people who have no degrees, but we have some reason for it, because they cause untold confusion, you see, by introducing a thing like this, which is quite impossible. Yeah. So therefore, cosmic, and you call it a cosmic body, because, again, it is living. Whereas the natural world in modern science is dead, isn't it? It's all a lot of pieces of matter dashing about. So therefore we have explained to our satisfaction the words cosmic and psychic. And why we did not say natural or mental. Any more? I mean, you are still chewing on it. You are a Virgo, of course. In consequence, no real. There's no pre-established harmony between us, but the exact opposite, you see. So what are you still trying to chew on?
Maybe I'll be able to ask later if I have a question.
Well, you can have a question now. Yeah. All that. You see, he should not be. You see, that is a question of astrology. You see, astrology means that he should not be. And therefore, the great wisdom would be that he and I together are the universe. But still, he shouldn't be. It's just logical opposites, you see. They exclude each other and go on each other's nerves. And therefore, your task is now to embrace them in yourself and complete yourself by, absorbing this kind of finickiness into my own essence. You see what I've had that. And then, because I'm delighted that you are usually supposed to be very precise, and you cause the most frightful confusion. Even a Pisces couldn't have been more confused.
Dr. Kahn, to go over this again, that the Sambhogakaya is this intermediary world.
Yeah.
In all of its myriad, or its four different categories that you referred to?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say, oh, no, you're catching me out. You see, there's one thing I don't find the false category. Where's the plausibility?
So-called fourth category. Concrete visions and symbolic experiences of the transcendental.
Oh, there's the fourth. Thank you very much. You see, sir. Well, I'm glad, you see. I mean, that's what I meant. Because I later on see it's the most important, and I thought, what the hell has happened to it, you see? It's no longer there.
It's not indeed practice.
No, you see, no, I don't see anything of the kind. What I see is that Buddhism assumes that you have an approach to the Buddha which transcends the sensory world. And this is an approach of faith. And this gives two bodies of the Buddha, in fact. It gives what we can call his glorified body, which is the body which has the 32 marks. You must have heard of the 32 marks. You see, he has a halo, and he has a third eye, and he has sort of hood over the head and things like that. Now, this can only be seen with the eyes of faith. You see, the ordinary person, he would never have thought of this, you see, because to him, the Buddha just looked like some weary old chap who was trotting along there in the heat of India. But with the eye of faith, you see the body, which is the basis of Buddhist art. You see, Buddhist art has never tried to show the ordinary body of the Buddha. There would be no point in it. But it only shows the glorified body. That is that. But then in addition, the Mahayana says, there is a body which can only be seen by the assembly or congregation of bodhisattvas. See, therefore this Sambhogakāya exists on two tiers, as it were. The one is what the ordinary faithful, if they have faith, see. I mean, it's difficult to believe, but I mean, that's what they say. You see, you can see that. And this is a question of Buddhism, an aspect of Buddhism which is so alien to Europe that we find it very difficult to believe it. You see, that they say this is a very beautiful body. And the Sanskrit word for it is asichanakakaya, which means the body which you never get tired of seeing.
Is this an actual...
I mean, you could imagine that you would never get tired of seeing Marilyn Monroe without any clothes on. It's rather difficult to believe. But you could imagine that. Isn't it? If you're an American, I mean, you see what you're made of. Now, the same about the Buddha. So, of course, it would be better for her to keep a few clothes on, to keep her usual clothing. But the idea is, you see, that it is a body which is so beautiful that you want to look at it again and again. And that applies to the ordinary people who are, here they are, you and me and so on. If we have faith, we are supposed to see that. You see, that is the same idea which Greece had, that spiritual and physical beauty go together. And only the barbarians of the north do not see this. You see, in Buddhism, it is an argument to say you are so ugly. You see, your ugliness is an argument against you because it shows it is a retribution. What a ghastly person you must be to look as ugly as you. Now this is, I mean, against everything you learn in Puritanism, isn't it? But it is the Greek idea of what is called the kaloikagatai, that the people who are beautiful in spirit are also beautiful in body. And there it becomes the basis of homosexuality. So do you see that? But in Buddhism, homosexuality has been frowned upon. So that's the first tier. Do I make myself clear? Now the second tier now in the Mahayana is that if now the Buddha preaches to the bodhisattvas, then they see something else, which is now a still more glorified body, as it were, and becomes a cosmic body, much bigger. You see, the first tier of the Sambhogakāya is 16 feet high.
Glorified person.
That's a glorified person, you see. But he is 16 feet high. His collar is made of gold. He has not only a halo, but a sort of halo all along the body. And then he has light coming from here. And then he has got webs between his fingers and all these interesting things, you see. That shows how far it goes back Because in England, for instance, Beowulf has that too. You see, it's the sign of an ancient hero to have these webs between the finger. That's it. But now, if you now come to the bodhisattvas, you have another body added to it, which is infinite, or practically infinite. You see that in the Shin sect in Japan, if you have these pictures of Amitabha as the rising sun. You must have seen them. It's perfectly obvious. Amitabha or the mountain. Now, that is the Mahayana glorified body. You see that? So, now, they both depend on an attitude of faith. You see, the ordinary person sees precisely nothing. So that is the similarity to my intermediary world. But now, to press it still further, it would be absurd now, because I have four different kinds. They have got four different points. I mean, this has nothing to do with it. But the point is that the Buddhists have accepted the basic thing, obviously, in the definition of the Buddha. Don't you see that? And therefore, you see, you cannot see the bodhisattva, the Buddha preaching to all these bodhisattvas in the sky and some way or other. If you have no face, you just don't see anything. You just see a few clones, if that. Because you are out of the sensory world. You see, in order to transcend the sensory world, you must have special sense organs to get it. I mean, even with astrology, there are people who only use their brains. They cannot do it. See, it requires a sort of clairvoyance to build it up. I mean, if you would see me doing it, you see, it's just, you see, I do this with hand like this, and we do this. You just conjure it up out of the blue. And if you don't have this conjuring ability, you can't do it. I mean, his views on astrology I wouldn't pay any attention to, because he would go from fact to fact and would find them wanting. You see, so inconsequent. Or no interest. You have to have them. Sorry, is this all right? But any more on this then?
To go up a little bit further, you said it wouldn't be appropriate to classify all these four aspects of the intermediary world category of some of the five, but certainly some of these seem to directly apply to, for example, category one.
Well, the truth is, the learned doctor is not prepared for the question. You see, I haven't seen this for about 30 years. You ask me for something I just don't know the answer to. I've never thought about it yet. So I think we better go on reading. I have explained to my own satisfaction the words cosmic and psychic. We brought in a lot. Nobody had expected what we brought in.
It's two-tiered view. It still is included within the Sambhogakaya.
But you see, the original term is asechanakakaya, which means the one which you get never satiated with in looking at.
That applies to the whole range within Sambhogakaya.
And that also applies to, you see, the enjoyment body is the body whom the bodhisattvas enjoy. You see, Sambhoga, Sambhog, Bhuj, well, it's just means enjoyment. To Sanskrit. You see, it's the same thing again. It's the same term, but it uses a different root. The main thing is that you are overjoyed to see it. Just as we assume that the ordinary American, who has obviously spoken to Lord, was overjoyed when he saw Marilyn Monroe having a bath.
Mahayana art emanates from this vision.
The Buddhist art emanates from this vision, and the Hinayana art concentrates on the one tier, and the Mahayana art on both. If you have, for instance, the Buddha of Kamakura, I mean the famous Buddha of Kamakura, that is the glorified body number one, not the cosmic one. But he has got, they have the greatest difficulty in getting this top notch on, you see. That was a terrible difficulty. He had a sort of turban on the head. and the Greeks worked on it in the Gandhara, and it becomes uglier and uglier and uglier. And then it took about 1,000 years until this was tamed in the...
Yeah?
And in the Kamakura Buddha, it is tamed and becomes beautiful, or at least becomes inoffensive. But there you have, for instance, the one that all the hairs on the Buddha's body curl to the right. See, very terrible thing to do, you see, but they do it. I mean, if you look quite closely, you will find, well, I mean, my hairs, they don't curl at all. But they all curl to the right. But then, do you not think, Professor Kunze, that in the Tantra, the position of women were immensely increased by them allowed to become consorts and shaktis of them? And I just looked at it and thought, now, are you one of these little coeds who come along to pull my leg? If you had the remotest idea how your position would be improved if you were stuck onto a man in the yogic position and were allowed to keep still and not pull at him, you would think differently. But she was a kind of Chinese. They have eyes like lizards. And I just wondered, does she poke fun at me or not? I do not know whether she pokes fun at me. But in her paper later on, a whole page was written about the glorification of women by being allowed to be labored by these yogis. So, I mean, do you follow this? I mean, I don't know whether you follow it or not. You see, the whole point is, I mean, if you know anything you might say, is to get rid of the blasted spells, isn't it? I mean, I would have thought so. I mean, well, I removed memory of these matters. And in fact, the interesting thing is that it appears to you, when you do this, I don't know whether anybody of you is allowed to know of this, is that it is really a terribly urgent matter to get rid of these spells. I mean, you get really involved in this matter. Don't you? At least I do, or didn't. I don't know whether. But here, you have to completely deny this. And therefore, you see, the people who do it say that the pain is almost unbearable. You see, it's still being done. I mean, we don't know what this means. But it is still being done that there are many yogis in India who do it, you see, of the Shivaite. Shivaite, and a friend of mine, whom I met, he lived with them. And they always have to laugh at the Western barbarian, think that this is a form of going to a brothel. Whereas, in fact, it's the exact opposite, you see. It is just destroying your instinct by torturing it almost beyond endurance. Don't you see that? I mean, I would have thought so. I mean, if you have any notion of it. Especially the poor little girlies, you see. Because, I mean, they must be small, and they must be young, too. Because, really, these old hags are no good for this. So you have quite so young, some little chick of 16 or 17, you see, come on, she keeps still, you see. They at last begin to feel the woman we are entering into the meaning of life. So I'll drill off their heads. I mean, we follow that. This is, I mean, without any doubt, I mean, this is absolutely, I mean, 100% certain what I tell you, that this is in all the books about him. And in fact, I found in Seattle a book recently published in India, which gives all the quotations, but only in Sanskrit. So do you follow that? You see, that this is a denial of your instinct. It is not that you use your natural body, but you transform your body, you see, because the theory is that now these, well, I mean, it's all physiological, you see, that these seeds which come down, God knows, there's some similar passage and all this you can look up, you see. Now, these poor seeds, they have a very grim outlook. They stay where they are. And, I mean, you should know this, of course. I don't, you see, I'm not an American, I don't know your background, you see, but when we were kids, we always used to hug with the girls, and were not allowed to do anything at the time, because there was no pill. And so, in consequence, we got worked up like anything, and they got worked like anything. And I remember what a ghastly pain you always got along here, from being unable to get rid of these blasted sperms of yours. Now, the theory now in the yoga is that if you now have them, you reabsorb them, and then you open you invisible channels of nervous energy in you, and in due course a new body, which is known as the Vajra body, which has quite different vessels and all this kind of thing, replaces the other one that is a theory. You don't follow that. But it is only possible by blocking the seminal. Not allowing these blasts. I don't know where they come from. They come down, you see, they are the seminal, whatnot. And now the whole idea is, you see, they explain that in great detail. They knew all the hits, you see, that you keep them up there, and then this causes the opening up of other cells. That is to say, the replacement of the natural body by the denial of your instinct. And I must say, if you just think of it, or you just try it out, you see, you can't do it, in fact. It's almost impossible. This friend of mine, he tried it, and he said he never managed it. He was an Englishman, and he tried it. There are plenty of little girls about in these communities, one more, one less. And he said he never managed it.
You mentioned that it's a
Shibai
practice also, so it's not restricted to Buddhism. There's other...
No.
So in what sense...
Left-handed tantra. Well, in what sense?
In what sense does it relate to Buddhism particularly?
No, I didn't relate it at all. It is you who brought it up.
Oh, I see.
As if I said nothing about it at all. It was you who said, somebody of you said, that people said that it is the purpose of the tantra to live out the instincts of the natural body, isn't it? And then I said that this is just, it is not, it is untrue. Because it means not to live them out, but to exasperate them beyond endurance by this practice. Don't you see that? And that is a fact. Now you see, the Shivaites now had obviously the same aversion to the body, which the Buddhists had, you see. But that's a long story, it doesn't matter why. But they have survived in India, and they are still very strong in Bengal and so on. And that they exist is shown by a friend of mine who is now a professor somewhere else, who lived for a whole year with them, and who also tried this seminal business there. And he said it drove everybody completely mad, and he never could do it. All those